Call RSG Financial for your bookkeeping, accounting, and tax service needs. Call 412-742-4345. RSG Financial provides accounting and tax services for business and personal needs. Call us or email Mary Jo at RiversideSalesGroup.com. Riverside Sales Group is proud to be an organization with minority ownership. Call today, 412-742-4345. Urban Media Today talks sports with Ray Porter Jr., Vince Butts, Trevin A. Jones, and Alan Lincoln on Urban Media Today Radio.
Urban Media Today talking sports. This is Trevin A. Jones. You know how we do. I got the fellas with me. You know, so if you hear the excitement in my voice, you know, every weekend I get excited because this is me and the boys making noise.
Right? That's right.
I got Vince Butts with me, Ray Porter Jr. Ray Butts isn't going to make a
now, see, you beat me to it. See, that's what it is. You beat me to it.
and then we got a special guest this week. Today is Saturday, so Major League Baseball actually, opening day was actually Thursday. But today being Saturday, we decided to reach out and get somebody that's close to the family. This foundation is just historic in nature, but the way it's come about and the way it's being groomed as it grows and nurtured is even more historical. And I say that to say this. We have Josh Gibson's great-grandson sitting with us, Mr. Sean Gibson. What's up, Sean?
All right, man. What's up, frat?
Oh, man, it's all good. We do 06 ice in the house. Ray and Vince, you guys just met Sean. I've known Sean for a minute. Mm-hmm. And the admiration for this brother, for what he does, for his grandfather, he's building his legacy. Right. A legacy. The foundation's been laid, and he's almost like building on top of it, mm-hmm. which is amazing. And I'm going to shut up and let him talk about the Josh Gibson Foundation.
Well, first of all, man, thanks for having me. Nice to meet you guys. You know, like you said, opening day was a couple of days ago. You know, tomorrow's Easter. So, hey, it's April Fool's Day, too, as well. So, it's all going
but
on.
This is no joke.
But you're just a little bit about the Josh Gibson Foundation. It was started back in the early 90s by my grandfather, who is Josh Gibson Jr. People don't know Josh Gibson is my great-grandfather, not mm-hmm. my grandfather. And my grandfather, Josh Gibson Jr., who also is a Schilling High School grad and also played in the Negro Leagues for the Homestead Grays in 1949-1950, he was the one that came up and he said, you know, there was something he wanted to do to not only commemorate his father, but also the great Negro League baseball player. So he came up with the Josh Gibson Foundation. And I've been involved with the foundation since I got out of college. I graduated from college from Edinburgh University in 1995, and I've been involved with it ever since. You know, we are located in the Hill District, 2217 Bedford Avenue, which is the old Ammon Rec Center. And right behind the Ammon Rec Center is Josh Gibson Field, which used to be Ammon Field.
That's crazy. And for those of you who don't know, this is an international and national show. This is Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania we're talking about. And it's interesting because Pittsburgh had, when you go back to the Negro Leagues, Pittsburgh had two Negro League teams at the same time. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is, your great-grandfather played for both.
Both, yeah, yeah. And that's why I tell people, you know, Josh was blessed to play for two of the greatest teams, which is the Homestead Grays and the Pittsburgh Crawfords.
Yes, sir.
Started off with the Crawfords, and then he went to the Grays. A guy named Reverend Harold Tinker, who's actually discovered my grandfather when he was 17 years old, and put him on the Crawford Sandlot team, which they actually played at Ammon Field. So he actually started his career off at Ammon Field, which is now Josh Gibson Field.
And what's crazy is that field, for those who don't know, when you go to the church, it's on a hill. Mm-hmm. So the church is the street, the front of the church is on a hill. And then as you go to the back of it, I think there was a swimming pool right next to it. Mm-hmm. And then behind the swimming pool in the church is the field. Mm-hmm. And I only say that because it's like, okay, you got to go up this great big hill before you get to this church and this exercise. Baseball diamond. Yeah, no doubt.
Well, speaking of the church, Macedonia, that's the church, Macedonia Baptist Church, that's where Josh Gibson's funeral was at.
Wow.
Really?
So we have pictures of the funerals all the way down the street, people trying to get into the funeral. So when he died in 1947, his funeral was held at the Macedonia Baptist Church. So we have a lot of history. Even though Josh wasn't born in the hill or lived on the hill, mm-hmm. I mean raised on the hill, he was actually born in a small town called Buena Vista, Georgia, which is about 2 hours outside of Atlanta. Mm. Then when they moved to Pittsburgh, they lived on the north side on Charles Street. He went to PV. He played at PV Field. But he went to Allegheny and Conroy School. And he never finished high school. He graduated. He finished with a ninth grade education. Due to the fact that he was playing baseball. But, you know, we have a lot of history in the hill because, like I said, he lived on the hill as an adult, And he also, of course, played for the Gray. I mean, he prayed for the Crawfords, and he was buried at Macedonia Baptist Church. So it was ironic for us and ideally for us to have our foundation located in the Hill District. So, you know, that's a little bit of background. And the things that we're doing now, I mean, we have some great things going on. I don't know if you guys noticed, but last year we had our first ever world premiere opera of this called The Summer King on Josh Gibson, which to me was historic alone, because to have an African-American story be told in an opera theater, you know, which is not predominantly is not geared to us, was historically. And not only that, it was the first world premiere ever in Pittsburgh in over 70 years. So that was very exciting. It was a 10-year project. The guy who wrote the opera, Dan Sonnenberg, contacted me back in 2007, and it was a lot of work being done. You know, and again, when we first was approached with the opera, you know, I never been to an opera before I was approached about this. So when he came to me with the idea of an opera, I'm like, opera, you know what I mean? But I was taught a long time ago, but my grandfather never turned down a deal.
And never turned down a deal.
That's right. That's good. You never know what happens. And so 10 years later, listen, well, look what happened. Something we never thought would probably happen.
Awesome.
And it came about, and now we're going to Detroit in May. So we'll be in Detroit at the Michigan Opera Theater from May 12th through May 20th. So, you know, I think the thing about what we're trying to do is not just keep Josh Gibson a local figure, but a national figure. Right. And that's what the foundation is moving forward to.
And that's awesome, because, I mean, to me, go ahead, Ray. I'm sorry.
I said I agree. It's very awesome.
Yeah, and to me, it's like I'm a history buff, man. So if I get to look at the Negro Leagues, you're talking about history and sports. Mm-hmm. You're talking about, you know, I get to rub elbows with the great grandson of Josh Gibson.
Yeah, I think it's awesome.
And I'm excited because, I mean, all right, sometimes I'm called Malcolm. You guys already know that. But I'm tired of hearing about Babe Ruth. You know what I'm saying? And my whole argument has always been, had Josh Gibson been given the same opportunities,
I do agree,
at the same time, we may be nationally and across the board talking about Josh Gibson on a regular, as opposed to saying Negro Leagues, Josh Gibson, the black Babe Ruth. I hate that saying, the black Babe Ruth, because I like the fact that Josh was 6'1", 210, is a big guy back then, and playing, and he was a catcher. Which is crazy.
Yeah.
And then he would come up and just slug away. Credited for hitting the ball out of Yankee Stadium.
Right.
Babe Ruth's house.
Yeah, the house that Ruth built. That's what I'm saying. Yes, but yeah, people still talked about Babe Ruth up until Hank Aaron. Right. You know what I mean?
True.
And I'm like, wow. I mean, so coming up, as you heard the stories, and you knew background stories, how did any of that ever have an impact on you?
Well, you know, it's funny, no, because it's actually, when you said about Babe Ruth, you know, I tease, his great-grandson is a guy named Brent Stevens, who's a friend of mine, and we actually did a project together called Josh and the Babe. It was a painting of Josh and the Babe, and we went around to different cities and the Baseball Hall of Fame, and we were teaching kids about diversity, being how it was segregation, how one player was looked at as a hero, which is Babe Ruth, and here's Josh Gibson, who also looked at as a hero, but not to all Americans, just to our race.
Right.
But, you know, now you can see blacks and white playing together, but here's a picture of Josh and a Babe, which was a picture we put together. It wasn't actually a picture. It was actually a picture of Josh and Satch. We took Satch out, put Babe in. But we went on basically teaching kids about diversity. But as you were saying about Josh Gibson being the black Babe Ruth, you know, that's what some people say, but we say Babe Ruth is the white Josh Gibson.
White Josh Gibson, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, let me ask you this, because there's something interesting that you just said. You have the great-grandsons of two great Major League Baseball players. Well, Josh was in the Negro Leagues, but to me, that's still, he was Major League because he never had a chance to be in the MLB.
Right.
But the level of play that he had, to me, is just as good as being in the Major Leagues, if not better.
It was proven, yeah.
How was that feeling? Like, it's you, because someone like myself would come in and say, okay, I throw in the black and white issue, all right? But you actually get to talk to Babe Ruth's great-grandson. How did you guys overcome that, aside from teaching the young ones the diversity?
Yeah, you know, it was interesting because there was a how we came about it was, there was a crate, and it was like a yin yang on it, and the same thing it said Josh Gibson, the black Babe Ruth, you know. And I said to Brent, I said, well, man, That's what Jews say. Are y'all, that's what white people say. I said, just like to him, you know, we were friends. And I said, well, let's switch it around and say Babe Ruth is the white Josh Gibson. So he loved the idea. And so what we did was we commissioned an artist to put together this painting called Josh and the Babe. And of course, Josh's name was first, but we didn't want to go further with it. So to be able to, I think the one good thing about being a descendant of a Hall of Famer, you do get a chance to meet other great family members, Satchel Paige family, Roberto Clemente's family, Babe Ruth's family, Buck Leonard's family, Willie Stargell's family. So you get a chance to meet a lot of other descendants of these Hall of Famers or great baseball players. And everybody has ideas. You know what I mean? Everybody want to collaborate, want to partner, want to do things together, because we're all about doing the same thing, you know? And I think the good thing about it is that we're all friends. You know, we have our little own fraternity within the families that we all collectively call on each other for advice, support, and things like that. So, but for working with, you know, Brent, you know, he lives in Atlanta. He's a great friend of mine. And it was a great opportunity for us to be up. I think the thing for us was more or less just like us, Josh and Babe was compared to each other so much. We wanted to really teach people of, okay, not only they compare, but why are we comparing them? And let's go further than that, and let's teach these young people that we can all come together.
Right. Absolutely. And that's great. That really is. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, that sends a message to everybody that it's not, you know.
It's not just a black and white issue.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's more than that.
Here's a question for you. Now, I've always, you know, I've enjoyed following, just like Trevin, I love history too, and I love sports history enough, you know. Obviously, I have had a chance to study his stats over the years. Now, is it true that the most he's hit in the season was 69 as far as home runs?
Some say 84. That's the highest number that I have. There was a 69. I mean, you know, and the thing about it is when people talk about the Negro League, of course, they always talk about their stats. They weren't, they weren't kept up. They weren't this. And the whole thing about the argument is, I said, listen, you know, society made the choice for Josh and Satch and Cool Papa Bell not to play in the Negro League.
I mean,
the major leagues.
Right.
Those guys would have loved to play in the majors.
Uh-huh.
So when y'all discredit their stats, I mean, they were just playing the game. You know what I mean? The best way they can. And the one thing I do want to say while I'm on this show is that he doesn't get a lot of credit is Rue Foster. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't for Rue Foster, we'd be no Josh Gibson. We'd be no Satchel Paige. Mm-hmm. We'd be no Jackie Robinson.
Right.
You know, Rue Foster was the mastermind behind the whole Negro League.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was the one that came up and said, okay, if they're not going to let us play in their league, I'll create my own league.
Right.
And for African-American man to do that in that time, in that era, was very smart. Not only smart, but it was genius because he did something that started a whole flow of baseball players.
Right.
And that's the guy who deserves all the credit is Rue Foster.
I agree.
And that's amazing. Mm-hmm. And you know what, Ray, you and I, we on the same page, man. Great minds think alike.
Yes,
we're going to take a break in a minute. But before we do that, Sean, have you ever heard of the Macmillan Baseball Encyclopedia?
Macmillan. No.
Okay. So if you look on Wikipedia, there's a Macmillan Baseball Encyclopedia.
Mm-hmm.
And it has stats in there for Josh. And I immediately, when I look at this, I'm like, this can't be right. Now, he only had the stats from 1930 up through 1946. The total home runs he had was only 146 home runs.
Now, I've seen, not that book or that encyclopedia, but I've seen other books that have that.
Mm-hmm.
Not that, but have low numbers.
Right.
But, you know, like I said, if you go to Hall, if you've been to Cooperstown,
mm-hmm.
and you go to the Baseball Hall of Fame,
right.
on his plaque, mm-hmm. it says Josh Gibson hit almost 800 home runs.
Wow.
So all that stuff they saying.
Right. Yeah, okay. And that's why I bring it up.
It's not accurate.
Right. Probably, I said it because if the Hall of Fame can credit you with that many home runs,
right.
that's all that matters to me.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's official.
Right. And that's official.
Because they go through painstaking.
Believe me, they're going to go through everything they can go through to get at least some credit. Right.
Which is awesome. Normally, and this is exactly why I brought it up, because just to show you how the numbers were skewed as far as some reports, some newspapers. But you brought up the point. You go right to the Baseball Hall of Fame, Major League. That's the bottom line, which I love. At least you got one place to go. It's like, okay, no, there's no question.
So you've been, of course, the Baseball Hall of Fame. What about the Hall of Fame in KC.
The Negro League?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the one I definitely want to see, man.
Yeah, been there. Yeah. You know, you guys may or may not know, but in 2 years, 2020, it will be the 100th anniversary of the Negro Leagues. Negroleague was started in 1920.
Didn't know that.
Yeah.
Seven years before my dad was born. Wow.
And you know what? I got something to bring up after we come back from this break. And I think you guys, you might know, you might not know, but if you don't, we're gonna say that when we come back. It's Urban Media Today talking sports. Trevin A. Jones along with Ray Porter Jr., my man Vince Butts, and our special guest today, Sean Gibson. This is the first weekend of the Major League's opening games, and we're talking Negro League, we're talking Major Leagues. We'll be right back.
Call RSG Financial for your bookkeeping, accounting, and tax service needs. Call 412-742-4345. RSG Financial provides accounting and tax services for business and personal needs. Call us or email MaryJo@RiversideSalesGroup.com. Riverside Sales Group is proud to be an organization with minority ownership. Call today, 412-742-4345.
Looking for some magic? Urban Media Today Radio, for the very best in adult and urban music. Listen to us on our app at TuneIn or Live 365. Urban Media Today features great music, entertainment updates, HBCU sports, breakfast toast and jams mixes for your morning wake up, and sports. Like us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, and register to win prizes on a weekly basis. All right here on Urban Media Today Radio.
Urban Media Today talking sports. Trevin A. Jones, Vince Butts, Ray Porter Jr., and Sean Gibson. I wanted to make sure I didn't say Ray Butts. Sean, this is an ongoing joke that we got, man, because sometimes I'll sit here and I pause for a second. As I'm so used to being with these cats, I'll say Ray. I'll put both of their names together. So Vince says Ray Butts doesn't make but a showing but every so often. So
that's an alter ego, you know what I'm saying?
But anyway, Ray, you had a very interesting question when we were off mic. Can you go ahead and ask Sean again?
Sure, absolutely. Sean, I just wanted to tell you, in following the history during my time of the Negro Leagues and just getting educated on it, one of the movies that caught my attention, I guess it was in my 20s, I'm in my 40s now, feeling ancient, but was Soul, the game, came out on HBO, and we know that the focus was primarily on Jackie Robinson and Branch Rickey, et cetera, but they also had Delroy Lindrow playing Satchel Paige and Michael T. Williamson playing George Gibson. Wanted to get your thoughts on the movie. Was it accurate in your opinion, or was it not?
Yeah. Well, first I will say this, you know, it wasn't as accurate as we would want it to be, but it was still a good enough movie to get the awareness out there, and that's what we looked at. You know, it, like you said, you saw that movie, you know, it was 20 something years ago. People still talk about that movie. As far as Josh's, which is Michael T. Williams, who played it, portrayed Josh. The only difference was is that they on the movie, if you saw, they made it seem like Josh was crazy and he was drunk and he died of a broken heart and things like that, when that going to the majors. What I would say about this, first of all, my grandfather was not, you know, from hearing family story, he was not psychotic or crazy like that. The thing about it is, yeah, he did drink. A casual drinker, though. And I think that, you know, I think in the movie they portrayed it more than a drunk. You know, but all the other guys drank as well. Maybe he may have got drunk sometimes and acted, maybe I can say a fool, but acted up sometimes, which is, you know, okay. But like I said, you know, that's the only piece I would say that we didn't really care for the movie. But overall, like I said, I mean, those are the things that we need to get out there.
Right.
I mean, like you said, 20 years later, you're still talking about it. And those are the things that help. Keep the legacy alive, and that's the most important for us, is just keeping our history alive,
right,
along the legacy alive.
Because one of the things that really got my attention was the last part of that movie when they had the all-stars from the MLB versus the best of the Negro Leagues, and the only reason why it didn't go on because of a rain was a storm got rained out. Was that true?
Well, I know, but that probably wasn't true. That probably fictional, but they did play Major League. It was called barnstorming.
On a regular, right?
Right, they exactly. Okay, exactly. So called barnstorming.
And I've heard of the term, but I never.
Right. So they call barnstorming where they'll get the best Negro League baseball players to play against the best white baseball players.
Wow.
And a lot of the times, the Negro League baseball players beat them.
I'm sure.
You know what I mean? So it was called barnstorming. That would have been a barnstorming game. And I'm pretty sure at some point in time during one of those seasons, it probably did rain. They had that kind of scenario. Mm-hmm. But they did do barnstorming. And Satchel Paige actually had his own Satchel Paige All-Stars.
I did hear about that.
They did barnstorming. So they did have opportunity to play against the white majors through the barnstorming.
Mm-hmm. Which leads to another movie, because Bingo Long and his Traveling All-Stars was probably based off of Satchel Paige having his own All-Stars.
Right. So Bingo Long Traveling All-Stars is actually the first movie about the Negro Leagues, where you got Billy Dee playing Satch, and you got James Earl Jones playing Josh. You know what I mean? So that was one of the great. That was back in the 70s. You know what I mean? So that's when you go back there. That's one of the first original movies about the Negro Leagues that also kind of piggybacked off of Soul of the Game.
Right. And you know, what's interesting is in both movies, and you don't hear a lot of people talk about it, and I wanted to see if you knew any more in detail, in depth about it, is first and foremost, let me go back. Let me backtrack for a second. Man, when you talk about a poetic license when you're doing a movie, that was a big stretch to have your great-grandfather, you know, looking like that, like he was talking to himself and hallucinating and, you know, just losing his grasp on reality, you know, at times. And I'm like, when I look at that now and being able to talk to you, you know, like I said, I'm a historian. Like, I really want to know how he was. I don't want to walk away thinking this great man, especially this great black man, who shows so much strength in the game of baseball, America's game, now you had to bring him down a peg because, oh, yeah, he was a drunk. He hallucinated. You know, his lady, he beat up on his lady, because in one point in Soul of the Game, they showed where his lady had, well, he protected his lady from being beat up on.
From her husband.
From her husband. And that's it. He's out here with a woman who's married. Right. His girl was.
Service.
Yeah, exactly. And her Rivera, husband was in the service. Yeah, yeah. So it's like, to me, and I'm not trying to throw shade on it, but when you look at it from a historical standpoint, if you really appreciate history, it's like, well, wait a minute. Why did you bring him down so much? Because he was up here.
Right.
Of course, they show Babe Ruth. When Babe Ruth, in his movies, they showed that Babe wasn't a ladies' man. Babe drank.
Yeah.
Babe was jolly and all that kind of stuff. So I just wanted to point that out, because I'm like, that's a big poetic license.
Well, let me just say something real quick before we get to the next point. But the thing about it was, and like you said, I was probably in my 20s as well. I remember talking to because my grandfather, Josh Jr., was alive.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember talking to him. And I remember they did send a letter to HBO for a lawsuit. I remember the director or the producer of the show said that he got those stories from other players.
Oh.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Of course. I'm sorry. Of course, we don't know if that's true or not. But
right.
So we did do some legal actions on it. But it was too much you can do because of First Amendment rights and things like that.
Right, right.
But it is what it is.
But like on the positive side of it, though, like people coming after us, Ray telling people his age. I think Ray's trying to get sympathy over there. I'm 40 years old. I saw this 20 years ago.
Well, I'm saying
the young ones coming up now, like the millennials. And you know how, and I'm not putting you all down. Anybody under 25, I'm not mad at you, but you know you don't like to read, and you know that you take everything for granted. Anything you see first and foremost on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, the minute you see it, you take that for what it is, for truth. And that's where Donald Trump. There's a lot of truth in when Donald Trump is talking about fake news, because we're accepting fake news.
Yep. Yeah.
So millennials, don't believe everything you see first and foremost. When you go see the movie Soul of the Game, I implore you, go see the movie. Go see it. When you see Bingo Long and Traveling All-Stars, Google it. Look up these movies, because you get to see great men. But don't take what you see on the screen for fact.
Right.
Do some research on these men after you see the movies. That's all I'm trying to say.
Amen to that.
Speaking of men, speaking of history, speaking of Negro Leagues, Effa Manley was the first black woman. No, I think other women owned teams before her, but she was one of the owners of the Negro League teams. When Rube Foster started the league, she was one of the owners, the Newark Eagles. That was her team. So I just, when Sean was talking about Rube being so, I guess, being such a positive, pioneer. I guess, figure, look at Effa Manley. She was a woman.
Yeah.
And a black woman who owned her own Negro League team, you know, when the Negro League started. So, that's amazing. I mean, that's incredible.
That is amazing.
Well, let me just make a correction. She wasn't black.
Oh, she wasn't.
She passed as black. Her husband was black.
Are you serious?
You Google her. Look her up.
Wow. Yeah.
See, that's the big argument.
Okay.
She's actually in the Hall of Fame.
Yes, she was the first woman.
She's in the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
She's in the Hall of Fame. Effa was a white woman.
Wow.
But she passed as black
because
her husband was black. They owned a business, and she was the owner. Her and her husband was the owner, but her husband died of the Newark Eagles.
Right.
That is correct.
Yeah. Wow. Incredible.
And right now, Penny Marshall is thinking about doing a movie on Effa Manley.
Really?
That would be great. Because,
you know, Penny Marshall did the other.
The League of Their Own.
Exactly.
She was in
that
movie.
Right. Exactly.
So then when you talk about Effa Manley, and I thought that she was black, and I'm giving her credit. And then, but then I had seen where they said other women whose sisters came through who owned teams like Olivia Taylor and Minnie Forbes. They also owned baseball teams. But I don't think they were the first in the Negro Leagues like Effa Manley was. Oh, that's amazing. See what you learn when you listen to Urban Media Today Talk Show?
Sure,
that's all we got showing here. It's like, hey.
That's right.
No, I'm not. I mean, so then when you talk about, let's move forward a little bit, coming to today. Major League Baseball, opening day was Thursday. Today's Saturday. We got some games going on today. We got some games going on Monday. Do you get excited? Baseball season? Are you a baseball fan first and foremost?
Yeah. I'm a baseball fan. Definitely a baseball fan. Sometimes I hardly get excited about our team.
especially your team being the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Right. Especially now that Andrew McCutchen's gone.
Say it.
And you know what I mean? That was my buddy. You know what I mean? He's a good friend of mine.
Class
and,
act, man.
You know, so sometimes, you know, and home opener is Monday
for the Pirates.
For the Pirates, but yeah, I'm definitely a baseball fan.
Gotcha.
You know, I'm more of a fan of players more than teams,
right?
You know, and managers. You know, I like to root for our managers and make sure they, you know, because we only succeed when they succeed.
Right.
But that's the way I root for our team, since our team hasn't been that great in a while. So I root for players. I'm definitely a baseball fan.
Got you. Now let me ask you this: speaking of the Pirates, and man, I sound like I'm going to be the man is just being down on everything. I'm not negative. I promise you this. I'm trying to make sure that people know and you know what's going on and you hear this. And sometimes this is bad news. Heritage Park was moved out of PNC Park.
Yeah.
For no reason.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I didn't know that. What?
Yeah, so Heritage Park, for all those of you who don't know, and I'll let you, I talk too much, man. But it was a tribute to the Negro Leagues, okay? And as you go into PNC Park, on the other side of the stadium, if you went in one gate, it was just a row of Negro Leaguers that you would walk through as you entered the park, which was awesome to me.
Statues,
amazing.
Yeah.
And they removed it. Go ahead, Sean.
So, So that's a good point. I'm glad you brought that up. But 2015, actually... I remember this day as like it was yesterday. They called me into their office. I was going to talk to them about another project, which is Josh Gibson Park in Station Square. And I come in and we're having a conversation, and they said they're going to remove Legacy Square. So now I'm like, I'm high in my emotions, but I'm upset. You know what I mean? I'm trying to be professional, and I'm like, why? Well, we want to do some renovations. I'm like, okay. So their whole thing was, well, we want to try to get people to spread out throughout the ballpark, you know, have a bar down there instead of everybody up on the main concourse. So I gave them an idea. I said, okay, well, then instead of keeping the players all in one section, I said, spread the players out like a scavenger hunt.
Right.
You know, put Satchel Paige in section 201. Put Josh. It didn't have a sign. Say, go see Josh Gibson in section 303. Go see Josh. When you see Josh, go see Cool Papa Bell in section 105. Yeah. So that's moving people around the park.
Right.
They shot that idea down. When they shot that down, I said, well, you know, I think it's more than just when people in the ballpark are spread out. This is more something else going on. But I will say this. What they told me they were going to do, they didn't do. And if you go to that space now, it's just open space.
This is open. Yeah. There's nothing there.
If there was something there, then I can say, okay, you know what? They put something there, whatever. But it's just an open space. As a matter of fact, it's just
it's nothing
high
there.
Tabletop. bar stools or whatever.
Yeah,
it is.
There's nothing
so,
there. That made me mad, man.
Yeah.
And I say that because you got Willie Stargell and Roberto Clemente in front of the – well, it's not really in front because Roberto Clemente, he's further up, closer to the bridge.
Right.
And then Willie Stargell is right in front of the main entrance of the park. So I give you that. But then that's it. You know,
that's it.
As far as
us.
Yeah.
And
when
us.
I say us, the reason I say that is because – I get so excited about the Pittsburgh Pirates because when I was growing up, I'm a little bit older than Ray, but I'm not trying to get your sympathy anyway. When I was growing up, I remember the Pittsburgh Pirates being the first major league team to have an all-black starting lineup.
Minority. 1971.
And that's the year they won the World Series.
Yep, sure did.
All minority lineup with blacks and Latinos.
And Latinos, yes.
Right,
got to make sure I give props to Latino brothers and sisters because they were part of that. And because it was Manny St. Guillen, Roberto Clemente. I mean, you had those
Doc Ellis.
In there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, making things.
Al Oliver.
And that's a good point, Ray. I said starting lineup. You even had black pitchers.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, everybody was the whole lineup. So it's like the whole lineup.
Was that the year he pitched a no hitter? Was it a year after? Because it was either 70 or 71.
I can't remember when Doc did the no hitter.
Yeah. But he was an all star. Him and Vida Blue. Mm-hmm. They were both all stars. Yeah. Right.
And I remember Vida Blue when he played with the Oakland A's.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's crazy. But yeah, so that's why I brought up the Legacy Square.
Yeah.
And then you said something about, I said Heritage Park because you got something going on with the Heritage Park, right?
So at that time, so right now, we did decide to do something called Josh Gibson Heritage Park, which is going to be FedEx Josh Gibson Heritage Park. FedEx is our title sponsor.
Cool.
Thank you, FedEx.
Right.
It'll be four monuments. And this is going to be a little different. So, you know, not to take anything away from statues, but as we all know, it's 2018 and technology, things changes. And so these will actually be monuments on a brick wall. These will be coming out of the brick wall like a 3D figure.
Oh, that's hot.
And they'll be colorized bronze.
Oh, that'd be great.
So it'll be the first four to be Josh Gibson, Buck Leonard, Satchel Paige, and the owner, Cumberland Posey, will be the first four going up for phase one. And then we'll finish raising the money to do phase two. But opening day right now for that is this summer. We're looking for All-Star Weekend in July.
Great.
So do the grand opening for the first four, depending on our schedule. But it'll be sometime this summer we'll have the four monuments up. And it's, again, for us, it's more or less, like you said, educating not just the city of Pittsburgh, but people that come into the city of Pittsburgh. As we all know, if you may or may not know, during baseball season, a lot of visiting teams, fans, stay in Station Square. If you ever go to Station Square during a baseball season, all the other players, or not players, but the fans, stay in that area. And a lot of them catch the Gateway Clipper to go over to the stadium.
Right.
So it's a great location. It'll be right across from the Sheraton Hotel, along the sidewalk by the garage. So they'll be lined up on the sidewalk kind of corner where you kind of step into them and read them. Someone will be voice activated. One of the things that we have done, we have a Josh Gibson Gala every other year. And we had different celebrities. We had Barry Bonds. We give out something called the Josh Gibson Legacy Award.
Yeah, never did that.
Barry Bonds received it. Monty Irvin received it. Lou Brock, Juan Marichal, the Clementes, Reggie Jackson. So we interview those guys when they're here. So we're going to take sound bites from those guys talking about Negro League players or Josh Gibson. So you have a narrator. So if it's you, right, you'll say, hey, well, you know, Josh Gibson hit almost 800 home runs and blah, 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 blah. But let's see what Barry Bonds said about Josh Gibson. You'll hear Barry Bonds' voice come in and say something, something, something. So it's going to be very high-tech thing, you know, want to do. And it's going to have a lot of stuff to do with your phone. You can listen on your phone with things because everything is on your phone nowadays. So it's going to be real technology. So we're very excited. And I think for us, this is more, like I said, it's just the awareness.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I think that's the biggest part that the foundation is trying to do, just trying to keep the legacy alive. And so that's what we're doing.
Now, I gotta get you to backtrack for a second, because this is something that he didn't tell us. And I want to know if this is true or not. His father played for the Crawfords.
Grandfather. Yeah, for the Grays.
So not only did your great grandfather play in the Negro Leagues, but your grandfather.
Yeah, which is his son, Josh Gibson Jr., who went to Schenley. And I said it because he loves Schenley High. And he actually played for the Homestead Grays the last 2 years, 49 and 50.
Mm-hmm.
And he played in Canada. And let me tell you this, you know, quick story. So growing up as a son of Josh Gibson, you're compared, of course.
Really?
Oh, man.
Yeah. The son. I got you.
Right. And my grandfather, he was second baseman, average baseball player. He was decent, but he wasn't nowhere near his father. And he would tell people that. You know what I mean? Well, people always wanted to see the Josh Gibson Jr. be like the Josh Gibson.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think a lot of pressure got to him on that. You know what I mean? And he wasn't that. He got hurt. And once he got hurt, he could have probably came back and played. I think once he got hurt, he said, look, I'm going to deal with it. So he went on and worked for the sanitation for 30-something years, and he worked at the Boys and Girls Club. Well, Boys Park worked out there, and he retired from working in the county. But he was very, you know, it was a struggle, man, you know, being a descendant of, I mean, being the son of a famous baseball player, you know, you got to try to uphold that light.
So you think the fame of his dad kind of pushed him, took the fun out of the game?
Once he got hurt. If he wouldn't have got hurt, maybe he would have kept playing. I think once he got hurt, you know, most players come back after injury. I think he just said, you know what, let me just go ahead and I got this injury now. Not right. say using an excuse, but I could say, look, I got this injury. If I can find a good, decent job while I'm got this injury, let right. me go ahead and just be a family man. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. But he did teach baseball for a while. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He did teach baseball.
That's awesome. Man, Vince, you awfully quiet over there, man.
This is a history lesson. Like,
it really is. It really is. Yeah.
I mean, one of the questions I was thinking about was how you guys working with some of the youth of today to not just educate, but to connect young people with, you know, the Negro Leagues and players like Josh Gibson.
Yeah, so one of the things that we do on SS, we have several programs through the Josh Gibson Foundation. We have our after-school program, mm-hmm. which is for elementary and middle school age kids, and we partner with Duquesne University as our tutors. We have a curriculum called BOSA, mm-hmm. And we actually work with Penn Hills School. It's a high school curriculum for, it's called Business and Sports Academy. Mm-hmm. And what that is, you know, as we're talking about sports and we talk about young people, you know, most young people look at sports as being a professional athlete. Mm-hmm. And we all know sitting here at this table that the percentage is very small. And so we came with a curriculum that give kids a business out of sports. Mm-hmm. So the curriculum is sports media, mm-hmm. sports marketing, mm-hmm. sports sales, mm-hmm. sports events, and sports law. So it's giving the kids an opportunity. When I present the curriculum to kids, I'm not telling you to give them your dream.
Right.
But if you don't make it, you can have something to fall back on, still be involved in sports. Mm-hmm. And as we all know, even if you do make it, a lot of people retire in the sports and still get involved in sports.
Right.
And then we have our, we have the BOSA program, we have the after school program, and then we're also working with, we used to be with Pittsburgh Public Schools on our program as well, but that program is no longer in existence. But getting back to your point, with our baseball program, so what we do is we have the Josh Gibson Baseball Academy. Mm-hmm. All our teams are named after Negro League teams. Mm-hmm. We give each player a sheet, a one-page sheet of description of the team. Okay. So if you want the Pittsburgh Crawfords, you get a paper about the Pittsburgh Crawford. Mm-hmm. Just highlights their, a little bit about them, the great players that came there, mm-hmm. Hall of Fame players, some of their championships. Mm-hmm. And then when we have our banquet, all the awards are named after the players. So we have the Josh Gibson Award, the Satchel Paige Award. Mm-hmm. Because one of the things I try to teach our kids is that, you know, the name Josh Gibson, you know, is going to bring the media sometimes.
Right.
And my fear is to have a kid get up there and a kid goes to Ray and say, hey, who is Josh Gibson? He don't know.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So we make sure all of our kids at least know who Josh Gibson is. You know, whether you just say he hit 800 home runs
right.
or if you just say he played for the Pittsburgh Crawfords, as mm-hmm. long as you know something, because I right. want you to go on that camera and be like,
right.
tell us about Josh Gibson. They're like, who?
Exactly.
Well, at least that's something, man.
That's great. Yeah,
yeah, that's awesome. And again, I'm not beating up on anybody under 25 years old. It's just that, you know, you need stuff like that. You know,
yeah.
you start from the bottom. When I say bottom, with the youngest one, the mm-hmm. little people. You start with the little people, then they can start to teach people coming from behind them and then people in front of them as well who don't know. So that's awesome. Before we even get away from this, how can people get in touch with you? How can people find out more about the Josh Gibson Foundation? How can people get involved?
Yeah. So one thing is, first of all, we have our website, which is just joshgibson.org. You can go to our website. We have a Facebook page, Josh Gibson Foundation, as well. You know, we're always looking for volunteers to help out. You know, nowadays, I tell people this all the time, we need your clearances. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody in Penn State really messed that up for everybody, so I'm not gonna say any names.
Mm-hmm.
But you need your clearances. But no, we you know, my thing is that we're always looking for volunteers to come and help out, whether it's after school programs, baseball programs, helping with our galas,
mm-hmm.
Other special events that we may do, like the Heritage Park Committee. You know, we have a committee for the opera. So anything that so it's not just focusing on kids. We have other adult events as well that people can get involved in. So, but, you know, we're always looking for volunteers and people who got expertise, and especially with the kids, because, you know, one of the things that we try to reach out to is for our kids, that we want to see positive role models for our kids. You know, some of the kids that we deal with are single parents. Some are raised by their grandparents. Some kids don't have a lot or are unprivileged, but we want to make sure they're all special. Mm-hmm. So we try to make sure they feel special. Mm-hmm. So we wanted some, you know, any volunteers that come in, we want to have that same type of attitude to make these kids feel special.
Man, every little person is special, man. If anybody that's not a teenager, because when you're a teenager, you think you know everything. But anyway, no, you're still special too. But anybody under 12 years old, the preteens, as they used to say back in the day, yeah, you're special. So get involved. And parents, if you're listening, get your children involved in the Josh Gibson Foundation, because if they got teens and they're playing, they're not on the computer. That means they're out there playing ball. And not only are they playing ball, but they're learning something as well. So definitely get them involved. I don't care where you are in the country or even if you're across the water, make sure you get involved with the Josh Gibson Foundation. Fellas, let me bring it full circle before we take a real quick break, because when we come back, we're going to wrap everything up. But big things happening in the world of sports. We're going to talk Major League Baseball, of course, because we got Sean sitting here as well. And I don't want to say it's all baseball because Sean's an expert, because, you know, we'll talk about all sports as well. But, okay, you got earlier this week, you got Jeff Capel being named the head coach at Pitt University.
Yes.
Which is a big thing for the people in Pittsburgh, since you guys, well, some of you guys are from Pittsburgh. others of you are from Cleveland. And speaking of Cleveland, when LeBron James was asked who he would vote as the MVP earlier this week, he said, me. So let's have a conversation, fellas. I know I went from one aspect, but we're talking basketball here, because you still got, March Madness is today. Mm-hmm. The Final Four starts today, this evening, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
So we got to talk hoops. And let's start with the Final Four real quick. I don't even want to say the school, because, you know, Ray's going to start smiling over there.
I'm already beaming, you know.
You got Villanova out there, but they got a tough game because they got to take on Kansas.
Yeah, it's going to be tough.
Then you got Loyola of Chicago taking on Michigan, which should be an interesting game.
I know. I agree.
Why do you agree?
I agree because
Ray agrees with everything. That's why I asked him.
You know what? See, I'm going to get the penalty flag on him.
All right.
I'm just playing. No, seriously, though. But just what a story. I mean, this team, I mean, they always talk about how they play fundamental basketball, not flashy. They just get the job done. And they're not just beating teams. They're beating teams up. Mm-hmm. And I really believe that this team could beat Michigan and get there. I mean, they haven't been to the Final Four since 63, and they haven't won a title overall since 63. They could make history to at least get it there. Now, if they end up playing my pick, Villanova, I think Cinderella will end, and the stagecoach will turn into a pumpkin.
You would.
But, I mean, think about it. Even they already got a trophy. They won their region. And even if they don't, even if they do fall short, even in any of these two games, you know, they're not losers. What a story. So,
who are you talking about? Villanova or Loyola?
No, I'm still talking about Loyola.
Because you're a Villanova fan.
I wouldn't say that about Villanova, because they've already been there and done that. Mm-hmm. But just the fact that to see what's their name? The Mustangs? Or is their nicknames?
Who? Loyola of Chicago?
Yeah.
The Ramblers.
I'm sorry. Ramblers.
Hey, he ain't really Mustangs. No fan. No, just fan.
That's two flags. Yeah. Okay. So,
you know, I got to get it.
Oh, yeah. It's about, yeah, we having fun. So, yeah. But I'm impressed. And then, of course, you know, you have the their influence, Sister Jean, who's a household name now. So, it's just nice to see. And that's what makes the tournament special. You always have that team that comes out of nowhere, seemingly, and puts their name on the map. So it's pretty powerful. So I think they can beat Michigan. I really do.
Yeah, I think Vince, I want to know what you think. Because when he's saying just come out of nowhere, I know Loyola is a number 11 seed, but they were 24-9 this year.
Right.
So they won 24 games.
Which is a good year, yeah.
Yeah, and then I think Michigan's 22-13, I think.
Yeah.
Or is that wrong? Is that wrong? Are they 32-7?
No, they're a little bit higher than that.
Okay. Because they were number 4 seed.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're a 3 seed.
See, I'm going to shut up. Go ahead, Vince.
No, I mean, Loyola is they're a very good team. And they have all the aspects to win, to beat Michigan. I don't know if they have enough. I mean, Michigan is a strong team. I mean, that kid, the big guy, Mo Wagner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got to find a way to slow down their point guard. Mm-hmm. That point guard for my Michigan is dynamic. I mean, he pushes the ball. He doesn't make mistakes. And from last weekend, you saw Michigan, I mean, knocking down threes like it was nobody's business.
Mm-hmm.
That may not have been who they were. They may not be able to continue to do that. But Loyola, I like the Cinderella, but only if they can play up, still, you know, continue to play up. Like, I'd hate for Michigan to blow out Loyola, because you got people come out and say, you know, like, yeah, they really didn't belong here. They kind of played beyond who they were.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to see the Cinderella, but only if they can maintain that level of excellence. I hate blowouts, especially when we get down to Final Fours.
Right.
Yeah. In title game, like I need for a competitive game. So if Loyola can bring it, I'm all in. Right. I don't know if they beat Michigan, I don't know if they have enough to beat Kansas or Villanova.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Villanova is ridiculous. I mean, they're a better Virginia. They play tough defense, but they can score. They can score from 1 through 5.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these guys get out there. It was funny. My son, I'm gonna say no racial, but the kid from Villanova had a couple dunks. And my son was like, "Yo, where this dude come from?" and I can't recall his name, but
number 10. We know his number 10. I know, right, his name. 10.
Yeah, it's like I want to say it's like an Italian name or something.
He got some hops.
Yeah, he had some game. So that Kansas Villanova game, I think, is gonna be. It's going to be a nice game to watch. Kansas obviously has some athletes. Their point guard is really, really good. And as a senior, he's going to have to continue to play well for Virginia to be – I mean, for Kansas to beat Villanova. But these two matchups, I think, hopefully live up to the hype, and then we get an awesome championship game.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, and before we even get to Sean, we're going to take a quick break. Tell your son it's Devontae DiVincenzo.
DiVincenzo
is his name, number 10 for Villanova. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised that, you know, your man over here, Ray.
I mean, he's really racking up the penalty flags. He really is.
Well, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and get Sean's take on it as well. It's Urban Media Today talking sports. Mm-hmm. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to Urban Media Today Radio, your station for classic soul, R&B, old school hip-hop, gospel, smooth jazz, and more. We're excited to add that we are your only source for your HBCU college football sports report with Trevin A. Jones. Your morning and afternoon commute is not the same with DJ Sergey Boogie and the Traffic Jam. Tune in 5 to 7 a.m. and 5 to 6 p.m. Listen in for your daily gossip inside the E-Report with yours truly, Kiki Brown. And don't forget about the Sunday Night Flashback with TJ, Sunday evenings at 5 p.m. Listen online at Urban Media Today. Today.com or download the TuneIn, Live 365, or Urban Media Today Radio apps. They're free, so take us with you. It's Urban Media Today Radio.
Urban Media Today talking sports. Trevin A. Jones, Ray Porter, Vince Butts, and my man Sean Gibson. We're talking NCAA and we're talking Final Four. Before we wrap the show up, we got to get that in here. Matter of fact, gentlemen, we were talking about Loyola of Chicago and Michigan, which would be the first game, I think, at 6 o'clock tonight. That would be followed by Villanova, Kansas. Ray and Vince were talking about Loyola of Chicago and the Michigan matchup. Loyola of Chicago has 5 guys that average double figures, which I think makes them, you know, the different type of team. Mm-hmm. I think Michigan has 2 or 3 that average double figures. But, Sean, what's your take on it?
Yeah. So, well, first of all, man, I'm looking at this, and Loyola has the second – out of the Final Four teams, they have the second-best record. They're 32-5.
So they're 32-5. Right. I had their record wrong. Right, okay.
And Villanova's 34-1. All the four teams have 30 wins.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, right now, for me, I'm going with Villanova just because of the home state.
Good man.
But I've told everybody, if Chicago makes it to the championship, it's hard to root against them.
Uh-oh.
You know, Loyola Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, just the underdog. You know, just I think it's in our nature to root for the underdog. You know, I mean, 11 seed, it'd be the first time 11 seed ever won a national championship. So, you know, if it's Villanova and Michigan, I'm going with Villanova.
Mm-hmm.
If it's Villanova and Loyola, I'm happy either way, but I'm gonna somewhat shout over to Loyola Chicago just for the underdog. You know, but then again, you know, I was thinking too, because I got a lot of friends in Philly. If Philly win, they don't tear that city up.
Yeah.
They don't know that.
As they still celebrating.
They still on the high, right?
Right.
They don't know that. They already got the Super Bowl.
And the Sixers.
And the Sixers are going good. Right.
Sixers made the playoffs. Joel Embiid.
You know?
You got Ben Simmons.
You know? Right.
And Markelle Fultz came back.
Just came back.
Fultz just came back.
They
had the playoffs. Go ahead. Because these, Sean, these guys been getting on me about me and the Sixers all year. I became a Sixers fan at the beginning of this NBA season, honest with you. Because, I mean, being from outside of Philly, I mean, I just don't like the way Philly handles its superstars.
And you got a couple man crushes.
Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons. I'm telling you, man. It's trust the process. Trust the
coach of the year, Brett Brown.
Hey, so that's why I said that. But and that's interesting that you say that because you said you got the Eagles winning Super Bowl, Villanova's in the Final Four. Then you got the Sixers finally made it to the playoffs.
Yeah.
And the Flyers are trying to get into the playoffs.
Yes, they
so
are.
It's like all the way around, all the major sports in Pittsburgh. And then you got – I mean, in Philadelphia. And then you got the Major League just getting underway, you know. So that it's interesting, man. It's interesting. So neither one of you all said anything about Kansas, though. Everybody said Villanova immediately. It's like Villanova in either Loyola of Chicago or Michigan. What's up with that?
I mean, I like Kansas. They fought off a good Duke team. So you got to definitely give them credit. And can we say that they, at this point, were the best team in the Big 12?
Yeah. Kansas?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, without question.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
They had the player of the year, which I think was robbed from
Graham?
Trey.
Yeah. Is it Graham?
They robbed Trey Young of that award.
Do you think he got robbed?
I think so. He's the nation's leading scorer, man.
And he led in an assist. I get that.
Right.
But then he kind of fell off through the middle of the season. And then when you get to the NCAA tournament, they go out in the first round.
Right.
So do you really get to be the player of the year?
Or maybe co-winner, player of the year. You know, yeah, split, cut it in half.
Let me rain on your parade, right, man. Do
a little Solomon right guns, there. Man. Just cut them out. No, I don't have a problem. You know what? You both get the flag. I am an open-minded person, and I do explore other viewpoints. But I still say, of course, Trey Young. Absolutely.
Okay.
I can see why the young man from Kansas earned his stripes too. Just watching him play against Duke, just watching him play in the tournament, you know, it was very impressive though. But the buck stops here against the Wildcats.
Spoken by a Villanova Wildcats fan.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm gonna leave that alone though. But
no, you're not.
Yeah. But Graham, you know what? And he had an awesome speech during Senior Day. If you go to if you get a chance, go to Facebook or YouTube or whatever, and then look up Graham's speech that he made on Senior Day.
Yeah.
It was deep.
Yeah.
Like, it was deep. Where he talked about the coach, talked about the family, everybody. So I got much respect for the man. Number four for the Kansas Jayhawks. Check him out when he plays against Villanova. So I'm thinking, now that I said all that, I'm thinking it's going to be Villanova and Michigan. Only because Michigan has just been on a tear. But if you watch the way Loyola of Chicago moves the basketball,
this is true.
That ball does not stay in one spot more than 2 seconds at a time. And every player gets involved, gets touches. So when you got five players that are averaging in double figures, that's an unselfish team. And check that. I'm going to make it Villanova and Loyola of Chicago. I just talked myself into that one. And then winning the championship.
Come on over. Come on over.
Get to the parade.
Just because he said that.
I mean, I'll even give you an Uber, man, or whatever it takes.
Just because he said that, I'm going to go with Villanova. Because I can't pick Loyola or Chicago. I wish I could. I just really don't see them. Man, you got Michigan you got to get by.
Yeah.
And then you got to get by Villanova, who will have to get by Kansas. And Kansas. You know what? The Jayhawks might win this. So I'm all over the place.
It's fun. This is really an awesome time of year.
Yeah, I mean, it's the best for me. Yeah, like, I told you guys, last weekend was my worst weekend. I'm upset. After Sunday, I was mad.
Right, because they slowed down.
Because it slowed down. Like, Saturday and Sunday, we only had two games. Right. And like, but still, you had
We got Penn State and NIT.
Yes.
Yeah, which I saw that game.
That's right.
They're playing in the championship. They played in the championship Thursday.
Yeah.
They played in that championship game, which was crazy. Because I'm like, wow, I didn't even think. Ooh, they destroyed. Who was it that they played on Monday night? They played.
Notre Dame?
No, it wasn't Notre Dame. Oh, man.
Texas
Tech.
Mississippi State.
Mississippi State. Yes.
That's Ben Highland, the old Pitt coach, coaches down.
Mississippi State. They destroyed Mississippi State on Monday night in the semifinals, and then they played in the championship game on Thursday night, which was awesome. All right, so speaking of college hoops, what about my man Jeff Capel? Do you guys know who Jeff Capel is?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Did you guys see him play?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When he played for Duke?
Yeah.
Yep.
Jeff Capel was the man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he was being coached by his father, because I think at the time his father was assistant coach under Coach K, right?
He was.
Yeah, when he was playing for Duke.
And I didn't know that his father just passed away last year.
Yes, yeah, he did. Yeah. And his father actually coached, if I'm not mistaken, he actually coached at North Carolina A&T as a head coach. That's in North Carolina, too. Right. But then he actually had worked with Coach Coach K at Duke as well. So, and people really had a – When his father passed, it was a big deal. Yeah. Like, a lot of people were upset about that. So,
and Capel, he was credited for turning around VCU before Shaka Smart came there. Mm-hmm. You know,
and Shaka's at Texas now.
Yes, he
doing
is
doing his thing. Right. But yeah. And then also you brought up the point that, and I didn't know this. I knew that he played for him, but I didn't know he recruited him. You said he recruited
Blake Griffin.
Blake Griffin out of Oklahoma. Yeah. I mean, to Oklahoma.
He did.
That VCU career got him the Oklahoma job.
Right. Oh, okay. For sure. It did. And then he was responsible for, obviously, the majority of the Duke recruits, including Jabari Parker and some others as well.
And so they got the three top players in the nation coming to Duke this year.
Right.
Goodness gracious. One, two, and three.
Yeah, and I think, if I've read correctly, for the past 5 years, they've had, what, one of the top five players or four players in the country have gone to Duke in the past 5 years, at least the past 5 years.
Yeah.
And Jeff Capel's had a hand in that.
Yep. Right.
All
right,
so now does every one of those nine players that wanted to leave Pitt, do they now all of a sudden turn around and stay?
Interesting point you brought up there, man.
Okay.
We know. I think someone will stay.
Yeah, we know two already.
Stevenson's staying, right?
Yeah. Stevenson. Shamil? And my dude, Jared Wilson Frame. Yeah.
So they're going to stay.
He's going to stay. And at his news conference on Wednesday, a lot of the players were there.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They were there, and he said that he's going to sit down and talk to them. He said they have the right to do what they choose, but he hopes they all come
back. They're all going
to
stay, man.
Watch. I believe it.
I think they're all going to stay.
I really believe that.
I mean, when you got Jeff Capel coming in, big time, Duke, ACC coach.
ACC guy, too.
ACC guy. He just knows his stuff, man. Yeah.
And go ahead.
Just the news conference, I had a chance to listen to it on my phone, and it was just well spoken. He joked that when he got a call from Mike Stiller coach, Mike Tomlin, he thought it was a prank, you know, and – just what he said in reference to being the first African American of
He's the first black head coach of Pitt basketball.
Yes, he is. Yeah. First minority.
This is 2018, man.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Absolutely. And he basically said he didn't realize it, but it's an honor. It speaks for itself. It's just a tremendous honor.
But aren't you guys tired of hearing first?
Very tired of just trying to making history all the time. You know.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I love the fact that we're making history, but it's 2018, and he's the first head black men's basketball
And you know
coach
what? Can I rephrase it? I didn't mean to say it like that, but I mean just the fact that I'm running out of flags here, man. I'm going to start like the old cartoons dropping anvils, okay? But I do. I see what you mean, yeah. And he is. I mean, they almost had a black football coach, but they had him for about 2 months. Haywood.
Yeah.
Right.
Who went to Texas Southern.
Yeah. And then as far as Pittsburgh, Lloyd McClendon was the first for the Pirates. Mm-hmm. And we know Tomlin's place, so, yeah.
Wow.
Well, man, my thing is, I mean, I know it's the first, but I think you got to start somewhere. Because believe me, there's a lot of other cities who may not get to the first for a very long time.
That's for sure.
So,
and that's the truth.
Yeah.
That just hurts me, man. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but he's not the first coach because Kurt Bruce
was the first
coach. Yeah, he's a woman's coach, but he's the first ever black coach at Pitt.
Okay. Head coach.
He was the head basketball coach for the women's.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Kurt Bruce, whose father is Clarence Bruce, also played in the Negro Leagues.
Wow.
And Kurt is still at Pitt as the associate AD. Yeah. He's been a lifer at Pitt. He played at Pitt, he coached at Pitt, and he works at Pitt.
I had to put the name with the face. I probably shook hands. Yeah. We probably stood right near him and didn't realize it was him.
When we went to Pitt, I remember, you know, he was coaching then.
Yeah. Okay, good point.
The few of us that did follow women's basketball.
Right.
Now I admit, back then, as a student, you followed because, you know.
Ray, now throw the flag. Now throw the flag.
Ouch. See, that hurt. I pulled a muscle.
How can I get thrown a flag for that?
I was just playing with
but
you.
But truthfully, I remember sitting next to one of my biology class. So, yes, you are correct. So you can throw the flag at me. Self-inflicting wound. But here's also another point. On the women's, you remember Tracy Waits?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So technically, she was the first African American female
head coach.
Yeah, for Pitt, right before Agnes came.
Yep,
literally.
Wow.
And then before Susie.
Wow. So, yeah. That's amazing. Mm. Okay. Well, I mean, like you said, Sean. No, I mean, there's other cities and other universities who are still behind the times. And,
for sure.
And maybe behind the times for a minute. But, you know, big up to Jeff Capel at Duke. I mean, at formerly of Duke, now at Pitt University, up with the basketball squad. So that means next season, it's going to be hard to get tickets.
Not yet. Maybe.
As they say, crawl before you walk.
He's creating some interest.
Right. Yeah. You got to make sure you get some players in here. Some
players and some wins.
You know, one thing I was always wondering, though, so this time of year, as you know, college basketball is just about to end. So what type of recruiting can he do outside of getting the JUCOs and getting the grad transfers at this point?
Yeah, because all the players are probably already committed right now. Yeah. You know, and look, he already did his justice for Duke, so all the players that he recruited are there.
Yeah.
That's why they said, you know, I heard a radio there say he's going to probably take 2 to 3 years.
Yeah,
of course.
You know what I mean? So, you know, the goal is right now, like you said, to keep the players here. That's what he got. You know,
right.
I mean, because he want at least to have a team,
right?
You know, yeah. But I think he's going to be great. I think, you know, like I say, he's an ACC guy. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a great recruiter, so I'm looking forward to it. I'll definitely be going. I don't know about season tickets, but I'll definitely be going to that Duke. If Duke come to Pitt next year, I'll be going to that game. To see Zion.
Yeah,
Zion, that dude is, yo, he is ridiculous.
What's his last name, Williamson?
Yeah.
They just know how to get him.
Like 6'6", 270, 280?
And it has been many times on television this week where I saw the experts who were looking at, because Zion was in the McDonald's All-American Slam Dunk Contest last weekend. And, of course, he won. But you heard the reaction when people saw him. Was like, I heard some women saying, I'm supposed to say that that's a boy? That's a grown man. You know, Zion is a grown man.
He's right. 17.
Yeah.
They probably
point guard skills.
Yeah.
And they probably said that about the current man child on Duke that's getting ready to head on out.
Yeah, Marvin Bagley III. He'll be gone. So, unfortunately, we're running out of time. And before we run out of time, I got to say big up to Sean Gibson and the Josh Gibson Foundation. Thanks for stopping by, man.
Thank
and
you.
Again, before we go, I'm going to get you to give out the information where it can connect with you. All right, fellas. So we talked about as much as we could. There's a whole lot more that we could talk about. But just before we go tonight, make sure that you check out the Final Four. Check out the website, Urban Media Today, urbanmediatoday.com. We didn't even run, I know you're going to dig this, with John McCann this week because we got so wrapped up into the Negro League and Sean being here. So we'll get that back next week. And we didn't do an HBCU sports report this week because we were covering the Negro Leagues and with the baseball season started. But we'll have that back next week. I promise you that. Tonight, just so that you know, the Final Four is going to tip off at 6, where you have Loyola of Chicago taking on Michigan. And that game is going to be followed by Villanova taking on Kansas. Sean, before we go, Josh Gibson Foundation, where can people reach out again?
Yep. And just a few things that we also have, besides our baseball league, we also do a summer camp that people can sign up for kids. We do a summer 6-week summer camp that starts in June.
Oh.
And we also do the baseball. So definitely come and look us up. But again, it's just joshgibson.org. And our Facebook is the Josh Gibson Foundation. And we're accepting kids. Oh, one last thing. We also give out scholarships.
Wow.
Deadline for scholarships is May 1st. Go to our website. Click on the tab programs. You see the application. So the deadline is May 1st for high school seniors going to college. The criteria is on there. So please submit your applications for scholarships. Sign your kids up for summer camp for the summer. There's a lot of things going on for the foundation. Just go to the website. You see everything that's going on.
Cool. And that's the wrap for Urban Media Today Talk Sports. Trevin A. Jones, Ray Porter Jr. I've been messing with Ray all day today.
Okay. So.
And Vince Butts, of course. My man, Sean Gibson. Thanks for being here with the Josh Gibson Foundation, representing the Josh Gibson Foundation. And big guy, you know, we're waiting for you to come back. Mic's always open. See you next weekend.
Urban Media Today talks sports every week on Urban Media Today Radio, where you can listen in on free music and podcasts on our SoundCloud station at Urban Media Today. And for more information, log on to urbanmediatoday.com, your lifestyle, entertainment, and sports blog website.
What type of game is being played? How's it doing there? I get up, all right?
You're listening to Urban Media Today Radio, your station for classic soul, R&B, old school hip-hop, gospel, smooth jazz, and more. We're excited.
excited to add that we are your only source for your HBCU college football sports report with Trevin A. Jones. Your morning and afternoon commute is not the same with DJ Sergey Boogie and the Traffic Jam. Tune in 5 to 7 a.m. and 5 to 6 p.m. Listen in for your daily gossip inside the E-Report with yours truly, Kiki Brown. And don't forget about the Sunday Night Flashback with TJ, Sunday evenings at 5 p.m. Listen online at UrbanMediaToday.com or download the TuneIn, Live 365, or Urban Media Today Radio apps. They're free, so take us with you. It's Urban Media Today Radio.